Chakram. Wheel of eternal time. Brahmi. Revolving. Tikshnam. Sharp. Sarvam. All. Nishkashayat. Driving. Jagat. World. Svatantram. Independent. Abudasya. One who does not know. Who does not deham. In this material world. Kimasat kamabhi bhavet. What is the use of engaging in temporary fruitive activities? Translation, Narada Muni had spoken of a physical object made of sharp blades and thunderbolts. The Hyaswas understood this allegory as follows. Eternal time moves very sharply as if made of razors and thunderbolts. Uninterrupted and fully independent, it drives the activities of the entire world. If one does not try to study the eternal element of time, what benefit can he derive from performing temporary material activities? Wherefore, this verse explains the words Shaura Pavyam Svayam Brahmi, which especially refer to the orbit of eternal time. It is said that time and tide wait for no man. According to the moral instructions of the great politician Chanakya Pandit, even a moment's life of one's lifetime cannot be returned in exchange for millions of dollars. Therefore, one should consider how much loss one suffers if he wastes even a moment of his life for nothing. Living like an animal, not understanding the goal of life, one foolishly thinks there is no eternity and that a span of life of 50, 60, or at the most 100 years is everything. This is the greatest foolishness. Time is eternal, and in the material world, one passes through different phases of his eternal life. Time is compared to a sharp razor. A razor is meant to shave the hair from one's face, but if not carefully handled, the razor will cause disaster. One is advised not to create a disaster by misusing his lifetime. One should be extremely careful to realize the span of his life for spiritual realization of Krishna consciousness. Translation, eternal time moves very sharply as if made of razors and thunderbolts, uninterrupted and fully independent. It drives the activities of the entire world. If one does not try to study the eternal element of time, what benefit can be derived from performing temporary material activities? So Narada Muni had described this sharp instrument that turns around. So this is identified as the Kala Chakra, or the wheel of time. So time actually doesn't have a shape, so we can't think of it as a wheel or as a square or as a circle or as a line or anything. It is formless. It has got no substance to it at all. We have subtle material elements like Akash, etc., but time is more subtle than that. It's more subtle than Ahankara or Mahatattva or Prakriti, which is very subtle. It is quite different. It is not a dravya or a material element at all in one sense, but it is a factor in the material world. Nevertheless, it is called a chakra or a wheel or a circle. And it is said to revolve. So one analogy is that of the zodiac chakra. The sun revolves in the sky and it goes through different signs of the zodiac. And after it goes through 12 signs, we get 1 year. So in this way, the sun is constantly revolving around and around and around and around in the chakra. And time passes in this way. Of course, the moon also does that, and all the other planets do that. So there's this revolution or wheel or chakra that is taking place in terms of planetary movements. So that in that sense, the sun's movement also represents Kala Chakra or the movements of time. The other reason why Kala is called a chakra or a wheel, of course, is because what the wheels do, they turn. So time keeps moving. It never stops. And the example of the wheel is also given because a wheel has no beginning and no end. It hasn't got a starting point or an ending point. It's a circle. So time also has no beginning and no end. And it continually moves. It cannot never be stopped. This is the mysterious nature of time. And so for that reason it's called a chakra. And here it's described that it's moving and revolving, which means time passes. And it is tikshnam, very sharp, which means that time destroys everything. That, of course, we can think figuratively in one sense, because we could say that ultimately, due to the nature of tamogun, things get destroyed. And so forms appear, and forms disappear after some time. So that time factor is considered an element in the destruction of everything. So time is also associated with a destroyer. Like Krishna's chakra destroys the demons. So the chakra of time destroys all material forms. So it is a destructive element also, and therefore it's called a chakra. So it is very sharp, and nothing can escape the destruction of time. It is independent, svatantram. This means that it does not depend on anything else. Of course, that's a relative term because time depends on the Supreme Lord. Krishna says, I am time, the destroyer. So ultimately depends on him. That is his representation in the material world of destruction. So it is not completely independent, but from the material viewpoint, it looks very independent because it's not matter. And it continually moves, and it doesn't seem to have any origin, and it doesn't have any cause, and nothing is pushing it. It keeps going on forever. Is very mysterious. So in that sense, it looks independent. But we ultimately know that time, material energy, jiva, and karma, etc., are all not independent. They're under the Supreme Lord. By His will, they operate. But from the material point of view, it is svatantra. From our point of view, we cannot interfere with time. Science may think that it can solve problems of some sort, but they've never thought of stopping time. They don't think that's possible. They can stop time. They can maybe stop your body from degenerating a little bit, or preventing some disease, or curing a disease. But they never thought of stopping time or reversing time. If one is getting old, then obviously the thing is reverse time, and you get young. But no one can do that. They never thought that it was ever possible. So no one can actually control time. It keeps on moving in one direction, forward. So this is the nature of time, very, very powerful. In this way, time is a factor in the material world. It is not a substance, like property in all the material elements, or the sense objects, or the senses, or anything like that. But it is part of Maya. It is not spiritual. It is a force which somehow operates within the material world. So it's a sovereign, this Karsaya Jagat. It makes the whole, pushes the whole world, and makes things happen in the material world. So we have time described as a past, present, and future. It has three divisions, basic divisions. For convenience, we talk about these three divisions of time. But nevertheless, this is a relative term. And in the third canto of Bhagavata, it discusses the divisions of time. So we have the smallest division of time, and multiply that, and get larger divisions of time, I guess, until we get seconds, and hours, and days, and months, and years, and hundreds of years. And then finally we get days of Brahma, our yuga cycles, and days of Brahma, nights of Brahma, years of Brahma, and lifetimes of Brahma. And a lifetime of Brahma is considered the largest unit of time. But that doesn't end everything, because after Brahma is destroyed, then he's created again, and time continues even when he's not alive. When all the whole universe is destroyed, still, time continues. Time is eternal, like Prakriti. So they're never destroyed. So time continues to function at all times, very mysterious. Even when Prakriti is not operating, time is there. It moves the whole world into creation. When Mahavishnu, by his will, through the Kala Shakti, or the energy of time, decides at a certain time that the world should evolve, then he places the jivas into Prakriti and begins to transform the Mahatattva, Ahankara, the material elements, the sense objects, etc., and those transform into universes. So, by the will of the Lord, using Kala, we get a creation of a material world. And at a certain time, destruction of material worlds. And within that we get smaller divisions of creation, destruction, etc. So all of this is moving within time. So Prakriti itself operates within cycles of time, even though time, Prakriti is eternal. But though Prakriti is eternal and is operating in conjunction with karma, which is also eternal, karma and time are also very, karma is also very subtle, so it's something like time. It is not a substance, but it's material. And it pushes the jivas into newer bodies and gives them results for their activities. This operates over time. So, the jiva can escape from time, and from karma, and from prakriti, even though they're all eternal. So they continue in the material world like that. except for karma. The individual karma of the jiva is finally destroyed. It comes to an end. Time continues in the material world. Prakriti continues in the material world. Karma for the individual ends. Karma for the others continues. And that jiva gets out of the material world. He's liberated. So he's beyond material time, beyond prakriti, beyond karma. But mysteriously, the jiva does not stop acting. And to act, there must be time. Action cannot take place if there's no time. So the jiva is doing activities in the spiritual world, but it's not material time. So it's not the same time. There's something unlike time, but it's not time. It's not the destructive time in the material world associated with prakriti and karma. So in the spiritual world, yes, we do have another type of time, but it doesn't operate in the same way. It does not create old age, disease, and destruction. So this is time arranged by the Supreme Lord for his pastimes. So time in the spiritual world is not like the chakra of the material world that destroys everything and causes misery. Time in the spiritual world creates bliss, because it allows the pastimes to operate in day and night, etc., in seasons or whatever. And through this, the Lord and the devotees derive great bliss. So that is a time under the Supreme Lord for increasing ananda in the spiritual world. So, though time is a very destructive force in the material world, in the spiritual world, it is something which gives joy to the devotees and to the Supreme Lord. It acts and serves them for their pastimes. So in the material world, we have to understand how time is operating. In the Mahabharata, the Yamaraj, he gave some riddles to Yudhisthira. He said, what is the most astonishing thing in the material world? And Yudhisthira says, the most astonishing thing is that everybody dies, but people think, I'm not going to die. Even though they see everybody else die. And somehow they go on living their life as if they're not going to die. So in other words, they're not aware that time is always passing. And their lifetime is getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. So, one must understand how time is operating in this material world. No one can fight against time, even the greatest person. So therefore one has to have an understanding of time in order to spiritually advance. We have to understand the nature of the material world. So if we don't, we will continue to act in the material world and try to get our enjoyment, accrue karma, get another birth, and continue life after life in this manner. So therefore it says, if you don't understand all of this, what is the use of doing all your activities in the material world which create karma and temporary results? So that is the why time has to be understood. So Baladeva Devotion in his commentary says that, yes, there are five factors that have to be understood. Time, prakriti, karma. These are the material parts. Prakriti is the gross part. Time and karma are the subtle parts. They're non-material substance, but they're material, maya, part of maya. And they're all eternal. And apart from that, we have jiva and we have Supreme Lord. So these are the five basic principles in existence. So two are spiritual, the others are material. Of course, we can also say besides that we have chit-shakti, spiritual element, spiritual reality, etc., expanded from the Supreme Lord. So there's a spiritual world as well as a material world, and that we have spiritual time and spiritual activities, etc. And on the other hand, the material world, due to prakriti, karma, and kala, we get material worlds, we get actions in the material world, we get karma, we get desire, we get birth after birth, and we get happiness and distress. Spiritual world operating with the jiva and Krishna, and spiritual energy, we get no death, no old age, no disease, no miseries, no hunger, no thirst, complete satisfaction, complete bliss. But there's still activities going on, and there's still some sort of time going on. So that is the remarkable nature of the Lord's spiritual energy. So for us, the material energy is very difficult to understand. Even one aspect of the elements is difficult to understand. What to speak of time and karma. But more subtle is spiritual energy and what it manifests in the spiritual world. Well, when the Lord says, I am time, of course the Lord says, I am the material world, I'm in the material world, I'm outside of the material world, this is my inconceivable nature. So yes, the Supreme Lord is the world, that's the Chinta Veda Veda. Everything is different and non-different from the Supreme Lord. But we have to understand that the material world is not the sarup of the Lord. He has a spiritual sarup, not a material sarup. So it's the Lord, because it's the Shakti. The Shakti is not different from the possessor of the Shaktiman. So in that sense, the Supreme Lord is time. So to govern all these aspects of the material world, there are devatas in charge of different things, like time and prakriti and all of this. We have the Kala Purusha or the Durga in charge of prakriti, or other devatas in charge of other aspects of the material world and planets and all this and karma, etc. They function under the Supreme Lord, in relation to the Supreme Lord only. Yeah, by the process of bhakti, one can transcend everything in the material world, karma, time, prakriti, everything. Well, effort is one thing, and the other is the mercy of the Lord. So if one gets the mercy of the Lord and one does one's effort, then one can succeed in bhakti. If one doesn't get the mercy somehow or other, then there's no question of any advancement at all. But generally, if one performs bhakti correctly, then the Lord is very merciful as well.
Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Maharaj ki, Sri Venkatesa Bhakti Dasa Swami Srila Prabhupada ki.